Good afternoon, ladies and gents. I hope you all are having a great day. It's Tuesday, August 6, 2013, and welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, can you feel the smell of the pigskin in the air? Yes, I sure can, because football is right around the corner, and Michigan State, they had their media day yesterday. Yes, I was down there, and we'll hear from the offense, the defense, and one incredible inspirational story from a player who was on Current Sports not too long ago. We'll also talk about the whole Biogenesis investigation. A-Rod finally receives his punishment, but decides to appeal. And yes, Johnny Peralta from the Tigers, as expected, is also suspended. And a former Detroit Red Wing dies far too soon. Keep it locked right here. Current Sports is starting right now. Well, welcome to the show. Again, I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard every day, each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your noggin. And, of course, you know, you can give us a ring right here at the station of Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And again, how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. Want to hear what's on your mind. Well, football. Yes, football is right around the corner. Man, just 24 nights left until Mid-Michigan kicks off the college football season. And yesterday, we got a glimpse into how this year's Michigan State football team is preparing. Media Day was held down at Spartan Stadium yesterday afternoon. I actually jetted there right after the show at 2 o'clock. D'Antonio was scheduled to talk at 2. Got there right in the middle of his press conference. And, you know, there seems to be a familiar theme, I guess you could say, with this year's team that they're going with this year. And that theme is, quote, winning by inches, end quote. Yes, that's the message that head coach Mark D'Antonio has drilled into his team coming off a 7-6 season last year, in which they lost so many close games in the final stretch. I mean, if you just look at that season, there were so many games in which they lost in the final seconds. And, you know, it would be a tremendously different season if, you know, those losses were wins and they could pull out those clutch victories. So winning by inches, that's what it takes. And D'Antonio has certainly drilled that into this year's squad. Now, there's also a quarterback battle, if you will, taking place between mainly Andrew Maxwell and Connor Cook. Now, Andrew, last year's starter, who had an up-and-down season. I talked with Andrew yesterday about how this competition is motivating him and how he's excited to get this thing rolling.
I'm excited. I think the whole team's excited, you know. Thought we had a great summer. I thought we've worked as hard as we've worked since I've been here. And I think everybody realizes that that's what it's going to take. I think everybody realizes just how important every opportunity that you get is, whether it be in the weight room, whether it be on the practice field. I think that's carried over to camp. I think the first three practices, guys have had that understanding that every drill counts, that every rep counts, because we saw last year that you don't know when it's going to happen, and that every little thing adds up, and you've got to find the inches, and that's kind of been a theme of ours. So we're excited. We're excited to get back to work, and everything's been going really well so far. Those inches can become miles when you don't find them, you know, there's an old saying that they don't ask how, they just ask how many. So whether it be an inch here, an inch there, a loss is still a loss, and a win is still a win. So whether it be one plays or two plays, those can sway the game either way. And at the end of it, it's pretty cut and dry, win or loss. So I think we came up on the short end of that a couple times last year and kind of left a sour taste in our mouth. So we're looking for those inches to turn into miles. And end up going our favor this year. When you've got guys behind you who are going to push you, when you've got guys behind you that are going to come to work and are going to come to play their best football every day, that's definitely, you don't get the benefit of just having an off day. You don't get the benefit of just coming out and really not feeling it and not wanting to go. You know, so that's definitely going to create an edge. That's going to create an edge for myself. It's going to create an edge for Connor and Tyler and every other position that's kind of up for grabs right now. all those guys are just going to take their best to work every day, and that can do nothing but help our football team. Coach D'Antoni and the coaches are going to put the best football team that they feel that they can put on that field. And at the bowl game, that proved to be in the two-minute drive, Connor leading us, and it worked out. We won the game. And you never want to detract from a win. You never want to detract from a bowl win especially, because those are so tough to get. They're so tough to get to, first of all, and then to win the football game brings a whole other level to that. So you never want to detract from that. But I think what you learn personally is that nothing's promised to you, nothing's guaranteed. If anything, it just makes you want to compete more and force you to take that next step. Realizing that nothing's promised, realizing that nothing's guaranteed, we have a saying that the green jersey is always earned, it's never given. So I'm trying to earn my green jersey just like everybody else. Coach D, obviously by making us live in the spring, has kind of put a premium on quarterback movement in the pocket, quarterback extending the play, quarterbacks creating when things aren't necessarily there. And so when that's something that the head coach puts an emphasis on as a quarterback, it's something that you have to measure up to that challenge, and you have to meet that challenge. So that's something that I really tried to push myself to do more in the spring, and that's something that as we get the pads on and we start getting more live situations in this camp, that I'm going to have to continue to be better at and make it more second nature.
Yes, that was MSU quarterback Andrew Maxwell again, who is kind of in a quarterback battle with Connor Cook right now as preseason camp has just opened up. Andrew addressing the media yesterday about his role and how this whole battle between him and Connor Cook is kind of serving as motivation for him as each and every time he steps out of right there on the practice field. And the MSU team is practicing as we speak. My office is kind of right next to the football field. I could hear, you know, the pads hitting each other. I could hear the whistles blowing. You know, you start getting chills up your spine a little bit. So you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, this is definitely motivating Andrew and Connor Cook, though. I mean, they're in this battle right now, and I tried asking some of the players yesterday who they think is going to be the quarterback, and of course, you know, they just fouled my questions right off to left field. They're not discussing it right now, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, if there is one part of this Michigan State team that has been consistent over the years, it has to be the defense. Led by defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi, MSU has consistently become one of the best defenses in the country. Now, I talked with MSU senior linebacker Max Bulla, MSU senior cornerback Darquez Denard, and MSU senior linebacker Denikos Allen about the recipe to success and this whole concept of winning by inches.
It's more of a, you know, more of a concept, but, you know, we do things like periods where we have, you know, the offense has to get a first down, and we need to stop them and get the ball back. You know, there's little things like that at the end of the game. We do two-minute situations all the time where, you know, you just have a little bit more added focus. And you know, those are where we lost the games, was either not getting a first down or not getting the ball back. So, you know, just putting ourselves in those situations, being comfortable with them. It's great. You know, chemistry isn't something it's something that's built all year round. You know, winter conditioning, spring ball, and summer conditioning. It's something that, you know, each phase is, you know, it kind of builds. And fall camp's just the fourth part of that phase, you know, really coming off the off season. So, you know, it's great. It's always been great. And, you know, it's a good group of guys that loves playing together. But I think we're going to do our thing. You know, we're going to run our, you know, our aggressive zone pressure defense and play a lot of base. There's some new faces. You know, Shalik Calhoun, I think he's a guy that one of the big names that's coming in to, you know, replace Will. So, you know, he's a great football player, and he'll be as good or, you know, as good or better than he's ever been. So, you know, I think everything will be pretty much the same. Number one is our staff continuity on defense. We've been able to play for the same guys, particularly Coach Narduzzi. And in turn, what comes with that is playing the same defense, the same scheme. And when you have that, and the guys we've had, you know, some of us are playing for 3-4 years, so you got the same players, the same staff, the same scheme. It allows us to play fast and worry about playing football and worry about what the offense is doing each week, instead of worrying about what we have to do. We already know what we have to do. My brother's, you know, he's always been a guy that you put him anywhere and he's going to excel. You know, he's just that kind of guy. He's probably the hardest worker I know. And he wants to help the team win. And what better spot than carrying the ball? He's my best friend. You know, I've grown up with him. I've seen him, you know, through all the ups and downs and vice versa with me. So I give him advice. You know, I'm going to get some, you know, quite a bit on the field. But if I'm not, you know, I'm rooting for him. And You know, I think he appreciates the encouragement I give him. I hope he does. For keep it up, whatever it is, you know, I'm Riley's biggest fan right now.
I got to make more plays on the ball. I got to make more turnovers. That's about it. catch the picks when they come my way, no drop interceptions. And when I tackle somebody, I tackle them and with an emphasis in getting the ball out where I can help cause a turnover to help the offense.
Right now in that locker room, what's the chemistry like between you guys?
It's great. It's great all the way around. We all joking and laughing, having fun with each other. And when we step on the field, we know what we got to do. And we all go out there and work hard, which is a great thing. And we're looking forward to this season. Turnovers is the main thing. We put emphasis on this spring and also this camp that we're participating in right now. Turnovers have helped the offense out a lot. And we kind of stopped a lot of people last year. We had a good defense, but I think we could be even better. With turnovers and helping the offense out with more or better field position and more positions for them to score. And our defensive mind, we ain't letting nobody score this year. That's our mind. That's our mindset, and we're working hard for it.
Looking at the defense comparator from last year to this year, now I know, again, it's early. What do you see that's different from a mental standpoint from you guys?
I say we all know our goals. We all set on our goals. We really working hard for it. And I say everybody mentally strong, and we all ready for the long haul.
Just good coaching. You know, starting with Coach Dews, you know, he's a great coach. You know, he got some great coaches under him, Coach Barnett, Coach Tressel, all the coaches, you know. And it's just our players, you know. We actually feed into what he's trying to sell us. You know, he tells us every day that we have the potential to be the best defense in the country. And we actually believe that, you know, because he actually tells us like he means it. You know, he's just not saying it. We actually feel that he means it. And we work so hard every day, film, study and all that. We do it as hard as we can. I feel like that's a lot has a lot to do with us being a good defense consistently. Oh, our chemistry is great. I feel like our chemistry is as good as it's ever been since I've been here. You know, it's just we all been playing so long together that we just know each other like the back of our hands. And, you know, that's just built great chemistry. This is my last season, man. It's all or nothing for me. I mean, I'm going for it all. I mean, I'm going Big Ten Championship, Rose Bowl. I'm taking my team wherever we could go. You know, as far as we can go, I'm taking us. That's how I feel.
Yes, that was MSU senior linebacker Max Bulla, MSU senior cornerback Darquez Dennard, and senior linebacker Danicos Allen talking about their recipe to success and the incredible consistency of that Michigan State defense. I tell you, over the years, you can definitely count on them to get the job done, and I expect no less this season from them. Now, if there's a part of this team that you can raise a question of doubt and that many people will be paying attention to, it's that receiver core. So, they took a lot of flack last year, and it was the wide receivers collectively who really took a lot of criticism, if you will. And now get ready for this. 66 passes. 66 passes thrown their way were dropped last season. Yeah, that's a lot of balls. 66. 66 recorded, I guess you could say. Because there were some ones that, you know, there's a whole debate about, you know, what is a catchable ball and all that kind of stuff. But 66 were recorded yesterday, passes that the MSU wide receivers dropped. Yes, you heard me right. All right, so I guess you can't put all the blame on Andrew last year, but this is a group of receivers that is putting all of that behind them and approaching this year with a new mindset. But they do admit that last season's 7-6 record could have been different if they caught more balls. Now, I talked with MSU senior wide receiver Benny Fowler and sophomore receiver Aaron Burbridge on how they are preparing to start a new season.
We went 7-6, too many losses, okay, you know, too many close losses, and there are opportunities where I could have made plays, and I expect to make those plays. All the coaches stood out. We were right there in a lot of four or five of those games, real close. So Coach D was just like, we got to find the inches. We placed the emphasis on that in spring ball, summer conditioning, as well as fall camp right now. We just got to find the inches because it's not like we got blown out. You know, we lost games by 2 and 3 points, you know, a couple at consecutive weeks in four or five games. So we find those inches, we could only lost one game. Notre Dame was really the only team that, you know, beat us. Just being consistent every game, you know, being that playmaker that Andrew or Connor needs, and, you know, just being that consistent guy.
Looking at this whole quarterback competition, if you will, coming into the camp as you guys move on to practice and practices, What is that like for a receiver, not knowing kind of maybe if that quarterback position is up in the air, not knowing who that guy may be behind center?
It's not that bad, actually. Both of them great quarterbacks. Both can throw the ball very well. Like I said earlier, Maxwell and Connor, I've caught equally as amount of balls this summer with each of those quarterbacks just because we don't know. So, you know, we got great relationships with both of them. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. They're both playing well right now, so it's going to be a tough decision for Coach D. So, we're going to see.
Who do you think is going to get it?
I don't know. It's a great competition. Either way, we're going to be in good hands.
Well, last season, you know, I was kind of threw out there, you know, out of the blue. I didn't really know what I was doing, but, you know, I was blessed with this great athletic ability and was able to make plays. But this offseason, you know, I've been getting in the film room, you know, getting with the quarterbacks, getting our time and the chemistry right. So, you know, we won't forget about last season because we know that's not who we are. We know we can make plays. You know we can score when we get in the red zone. So we've been getting with the quarterbacks, watching film a lot this offseason. So we should be good. You know, this game is about inches. You know, we just got to finish, you know, fight for everything we can get.
For you, what improvements do you think you got to make?
You know, just be more polished with my route running, and I should be good. And I'm getting better at reading coverages. You know, my route running is getting better, and I'm just catching everything now. So,
yes, that was the receiving corps, just two of them, I should say, for the MSU football team. That was MSU senior wide receiver Benny Fowler and sophomore receiver Aaron Burbridge. And there was a time last season where Aaron Burbridge was definitely the best receiver on that MSU football team. But we'll see, you know, because they took a lot of flack last season, and deservingly so, 66 drop passes for that receiving core. So we'll see if they can get to clicking. Now, you know, as I spent some time at that media day yesterday and interviewing different people and talking to the media, you know, it was definitely a fun time. But I tell you what, probably my favorite part of that entire day had to be my sit-down interview with Makaijah Reynolds. Yes, because, you know, Makaijah, of course, he is a friend of the show. Not too long ago, you heard his voice right here on Current Sports. Now, the reason why his interview captivated me was because, little did many know, he actually saved a life. Yes, it happened last week. Just listen.
Long story short, a young man was shot on Saginaw three times. Nobody else was around. It was about 1:30 in the morning. I was about to spend the night at my friend's house, and something at the last minute just told me, no, go home. So I decided to go home, and I took a route that I normally don't take, and this young man flagged me down. He had been shot three times. There was nobody else around. He was bleeding out pretty badly. So I whipped my car around in the middle of the street and jumped out, ran over to him and helped him out and put pressure on his wounds and stuff. He'd been shot in the head, and, I mean, I still got my shirt and all my clothes over at the house that, you know, completely drenched in his blood and stuff. But, you know, thank God he made it. And, you know, that was pretty much it. You know? Yep. I mean, it was crazy. You know, this kid, young cat, teenager. And I'm holding him, cradling him, trying to, you know, put pressure and tell him, hey, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. You know, he's telling me I'm dead. I'm like, look, you're not dead. You know, you're sitting here talking to me. So you're going to be fine. Just hang on. Just keep fighting. And I felt like I was, you know, spotting somebody on the bench. I was like, man, you can do it. Just relax. Keep going. You know, you got it and all that. And thankfully, he made it. I haven't really spoken to the family since I've been in camp and stuff, but he's stable and everything last time I checked. And, yeah, so I didn't get sleep for a couple of days just because, you know, it made me consider, you know, life is delicate. Life is so delicate. You know, you don't think about things like that happening until it's happened. You know, just thinking, I'm like, what if my son would have been in that situation? Would somebody else have stopped? And, you know, thankfully he made it and everything, but it makes you consider and be thankful and so grateful and for everything that you're given. You know, I'm truly blessed to be here in the situation in that I'm in right now, playing college football at the highest level. And, you know, there's so many people that I know who didn't make it out of, you know, where they were. And so I just, you know, I think I owe it to everybody who helped me get here to, you know, to do my best and just go as hard as I can. Because, you know, this stuff isn't something that I get back. And, you know, life isn't something that you get back. You don't get these days back. So that's, you know, my goal is in this camp has been to just go as hard as I can. You know, even the first couple practices, I've never been so tired and so sore after practices before. But it's just because I've been trying to go harder, and, you know, I could feel my body breaking down just so it can be built back up and be stronger for these games. And, you know, I look forward to it. Now, let me preface this. I am not perfect. I am no saint. But I believe in God. I believe He's my Lord and Savior. And I was brought up in the church when I was younger. My relationship with God is the most important thing in my life to me. I've gone to AIA camp twice out in Colorado, had the best time, met some of the best, you know, Christian athletes, and made so many friendships out there. And, it's been great having so many teammates who have been, you know, in that same position, like Foe and Travis and all those guys who you can go and talk to. You know, I miss Chris Norman so much because, you know, that was like my bro. That was my counselor. If I had a problem, I had questions, I went to him. And, you know, and he break stuff down for me. And, you know,
So Chris was the same way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Chris was bigger than me, way bigger. You know, he turned down the league to go to minister. And I think that takes so much courage. And that just shows what type of a person and what type of, you know, how deep and how great his relationship is with Christ and everything.
So that's what fuels you out there?
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing that fuels me. But, you know, to be able to minister to people and say, hey, I made it here only because of God's, only because of God's will and mercy. I don't deserve to be here. There are other people who are more talented. But, you know, by God's grace, I was able to be here. And I'm here now playing my senior year at State, you know, planning to go to the Rose Bowl and everything. That's the goal, but it can't be done without him. So,
yes, such an inspirational guy, such an inspirational story. That was Michigan State senior nose tackle Mekijah Reynolds discussing and talking to me about his incredible story about when he was driving in the early hours on July 31st in Lansing, Michigan, actually near where I live, which is pretty scary. I remember seeing the story that night on the news. And a guy had got shot three times, and he was an 18-year-old man. He flagged Mekijah down, who was, you know, supposed to spend the night at a friend's house, decided not to, drive into to his apartment, and saw this 18-year-old who was shot once in the head, actually, out of those three times. And Mekijah, getting out of his car, applied pressure to the wounds until paramedics got there, and definitely aided in saving his life. And that young man, as Mekijah, as you just heard, he said he's doing well. So such an inspirational story, and how can you not root for a guy like that? I tell you, in this story, you know, once, you know, Mekijah came out and said that, I mean, it's on ESPN, USA Today, national news. So hats off to Mekijah Reynolds for definitely an heroic effort that I would hope all of us, you know, would have partook in if we were faced in that same situation. So, but yeah, that definitely had to be my favorite moment of media day. Again, want to get your thoughts on how the team is going to do this year. You can give us a call here at the station, 517-355-9527. You can visit our Facebook page and leave a comment on how you think they're going to do. Facebook.com/currentsports. Email me. We'll read it right here on the show. We'll put you on the air. So again, give us a call, tweet me, Facebook me. More Current Sports is coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, train derailments in Louisiana, Spain, France, Switzerland, and Canada. What needs to be done to make railways safer? Also, Sarah Lee Guthrie has a new album and stories of what it felt like to grow up the daughter of folk singer Arlo Guthrie.
I always felt like we were like the Addams Family or something. You know, we were so weird.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Hey, good people. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We just went through, some of the sound bites and sound from yesterday's Michigan State Football Media Day. Great time. This team is very focused. The theme is winning by inches, because really, if you look at last season, that's what it came down to when you talk about that Michigan State football team losing so many close games. But they look focused right now. That quarterback position is in a battle between Connor Cook and Andrew Maxwell. The defense, I expect that to be consistent as it always has been. Receivers have to catch balls. And, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. And, as you just heard from Denikos Allen, I'm joined right now by Matt Luckey, production assistant. And, Matt, I was talking to Denikos Allen yesterday, as many people heard in that bite, and he says that the chemistry between this, as far as the defense is just concerned, is the best that he's been around his entire MSU career. So that's saying a lot. So defensively, I think, safe to say that defense is going to be solid next year, as always, I think.
Yeah, and, usually the pattern that MSU football sometimes has is when they have a great year, they come in the next year riding high expectations, and they don't live up to them. But then, at least in the D'Antonio tenure, we had that 6-6 year in, I believe, 2009, bounced back with an 11-win season. So I actually prefer when they're just kind of out of the way, under the radar,
I like
hungry.
That too.
You like the things you're reading this year because you can tell they are angry about last year and want to get better. Coming right into last season, it was just kind of like, we are really good and we're going to coast to some victories. Doesn't matter who we're putting in at quarterback, we're going to get things done. We're going to win a bunch of games. It didn't happen. This year, more realistic, more focused, more professional sounding. They sound like they're ready to play. I'm ready to see them on the field again.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for football
season.
They
definitely seemed like they were definitely ready, chomping at the bit. And, preseason training camp is going on. They're so competitive, talking with that defense. And, they're ready to go at each other and push each other to become the best players they can be on that team. But, season's right around the corner. August 30th is the first game. I believe we have a caller on line one, Todd, right? Todd, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. To me, and I'm not going to predict a record or anything like that because, I'd like to see them go 13-0, but I don't know that that's very realistic. To me, the game that means the most to me, or I think is going to be the game that tells me what they're going to do, is that first road game in the Big Ten at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa is a very physical football team. Probably has some similarities to Michigan State in the fact that their defense should be good and have some issues to work out on offense. To me, if they can win that game at Iowa on the road in the Big Ten, which is tough to do, their schedule sets up well.
Very well.
I think they need to win that game, though. They need to have three or four get on a little roll in the Big Ten, keep climbing that ladder in the standings when you have teams that, at least in our minds, we feel we should be. But I tell you what, I've got to admit, and I don't know if you guys were there last year, that football game they lost against Iowa was probably the most disappointing game I've seen in Coach D'Antonio's tenure here. I know the weather was atrocious, a lot of rain, but to me, of all the games that they lost, there was no excuse for performing the way they did. That defense, I think, had Iowa probably close to 100 yards total offense for three quarters of football. And Iowa, I'll give them credit. They didn't quit. Coach Ferentz had them there, and they played through it, and the weather was adverse in both conditions. But you know what? That defense gave up points when we needed it the least. They scored a touchdown with like two minutes left in the fourth quarter after, again, I don't think Iowa had more than four or five first downs all game long. They strung together a drive and beat us. To me, that game at Iowa, and again, a very similar football team to Michigan State, that game is going to tell me a lot. If they go out there and win that football game, the way things are in the Big Ten, and nothing's given to you, nothing's easy. I don't care whether you're playing at Evanston. I don't care whether you're playing at Columbus. But to me, the game that's going to tell me what I really need to know about this football team is, do they go out to Iowa and get a W? Because to me, if they get it, they got a chance to do something pretty nice.
Hey, thanks a lot, Todd. I think he brings up a great point. I remember being at that game. I was just starting at Channel 6, and the weather was terrible. First of all, I was drenched. I had a camera in my hand. I was freezing my butt off. I'm like, oh my gosh, when is this game going to end? But the defense, again, I believe it was around just 100 yards that entire game that they allow Iowa on offense. The entire game, the defense played spectacular. But the offense just couldn't get anything going. A lot of drop ball. It was a tons of drop balls that game. Mm-hmm. Andrew Maxwell was finding people. I know he took a lot of criticism after that game. He was finding them out there, but there was a lot of drop balls. I understand it's raining out there, but there were some very catchable balls there. But and then they lose on that heartbreaker. Tipped in the air. Iowa intercepts the ball in overtime. Game over. That was really a demoralizing loss. And I remember being in that locker room, and it just seemed like the entire, you know, the life was just sucked out of D'Antonio, the assistant coaches, the players. And that was a point where you could look at and say, man, the whole mood of the season changed.
Right. You knew it was going to be a long year after that one. And that's an Iowa team that had previously lost to Central Michigan at home.
Right.
They went 4-8 all year.
4-8.
And, you know, basically they had one offensive playmaker in Mark Wiseman. And, you know, after 3.5 quarters, they finally broke through and scored. But, yeah, that was a demoralizing loss. And I have to agree with Todd. That's a huge game this season.
Huge game.
We typically don't play very well at Iowa. It's a very tough place to play over at Kinnick Stadium. They did win the last time they played there, though, I believe, and they definitely can win. And, you know, Iowa is similar to us in that they don't have a lot of skill on offense. You know, breaking in a new quarterback, it's going to be interesting to see. I think we're a better team, and I think that's a good team to measure ourselves against to see, is this going to be another retread of last year, or are we going to maybe take a step forward?
Right.
And a road game at Iowa is a really good measuring stick.
Yeah, and it's the first road game of the season for them. You know, that'll be really a game that you look at and say, all right, if they can win here, you know,
we may have something.
We may have something.
Yep.
So, all right, I believe we have Kirk from Grand Ledge. How you doing, Kirk? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. So, here's my thing about Michigan State's defense, and it's so easy to jump all over the offense because, yeah, there were plenty of times last year they looked putrid, okay? But the defense didn't finish games last year, and maybe because they're tired because the offense left them on the field too much or whatever, but the defense just didn't finish games. They didn't finish the Iowa game. They didn't finish the Nebraska game. They didn't finish the Michigan game. You know, they gave up just, you know, one bad series or one bad play, like Ohio State. You know, Johnny Adams tackles the guy instead of looking for the ball on that long touchdown pass. They beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
The defense has to finish. To me, the theme of this year should be finishing. They lost so many games in the last minutes and last seconds. That's where they've got to step up. Do I think the offense will be better this year? I don't know what to think about the offense. You know, if you could tell me the offensive line is going to stay healthy, I would think they would have some. They have some ability there, and I think with an extra year under their belt, they will progress and do better. But I'm not. You know, the statistics on the defense was wonderful and marvelous. And they were rated high and everything else. But the bottom line is they were in positions to close teams out and win games, and they just didn't get it done.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Kirk. Appreciate it. And I think Kirk does bring up a pretty good point. But at the same time, I think that Michigan State wouldn't be in those positions where they have to make a big play and close it out if the offense would have just some relative productivity somewhere.
Right. Move the ball.
Move the ball.
Flip field position. Do something.
Right.
And yes, they did give up, you know, a lot of just back-breaking drives.
Just last second. Oh, my gosh, what is going on here? But again, they would not be in that position. I'm sticking with this. If the offense just and if you look at the offense last season, even though they weren't productive at all, and MSU would still be in games because of the defense. Just imagine if they just put together one or two, three touchdown drives.
Right.
I mean, the game would be a blowout. MSU fans could go home happy. You know, just some type of productivity on the offensive end.
Exactly. And I think the thing that everybody's kind of overlooking, and you're not really hearing a lot about it now, is how much we missed Keyshawn Martin last year.
Oh, yeah.
And not just offensively.
On
special
kickoffs.
Teams.
Yeah, special
punt
teams.
Punt returns. We, like, you know, Keyshawn would take, it seemed like, two back every year.
Right.
He would make plays. He would change the field. he would do something. Last year, we missed tons of kicks. We got nothing out of the return game on either front, punt right. or kick.
Yeah, when you talk about a team like MSU who is struggling, or any offensive struggling team, special teams and field position
can change games.
Can change games.
Yeah,
in,
I mean,
in the blink of an eye.
Blocked
you know?
Punt against Wisconsin in the Hail Mary game. That
right.
flipped the whole momentum of the game. You know,
right.
when's the last time we blocked a punt? Where's Kyler Ellsworth? I want to see right. him block like five punts this year.
Right, exactly.
But it's just like plays like that make the difference. If you have a you know, below average offense, if you can make one or two big plays in special teams a game, you're
right.
golden. If
you're
you have good. A defense like we do, you can win 9 or 10 games a year, even if your offense is still, you know, kind of sputtering, only scoring 20 points a game. If you get contributions from, you know, other pieces of the team, you know, the defense didn't force a lot of turnovers last year either.
Yeah, that's another
that's
thing
a big
that you can
thing.
Bring up, you know?
It's just they didn't make the big plays when they had to that change games. They didn't make the big highlight plays.
Right, right. Very, and that's where Kirk is coming from with his argument now. And, you know, offensively, you know, there's a lot of question marks.
Yep.
As far as right now, as I said, with the quarterback position right now, as far as the running back position, we don't know how good Riley Bullough is going to be behind center. Nick Hill will be back there too. The receivers, a lot of drop balls. So if anything, you know, it's there's a lot of question marks on that offensive end. But I tell you what, being at Media Day, they're putting it behind them. They have a totally different mindset, and D'Antonio is going with that win-by-inches mindset because there were so many games in which they lost by inches. So, again, if you got a comment, give us a call at 517-355-9527 right here at the station, facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me, Facebook me. We want to hear what's on your mind with that. All right, really quickly, let's get to some current sports. The big news yesterday was Major League Baseball coming down heavy on the players that have been involved with the South Florida anti-aging clinic Biogenesis, suspending Alex Rodriguez, yes, through the end of 2014, and banning 12 others for 50 games, including three All-Stars, Nelson Cruz of the Rangers, Evan Cabrera of the Padres, and yes, Johnny Peralta of the Detroit Tigers. Just listen to some of A-Rod's presser from yesterday.
Thank you for being here today. I know I wish it was under different circumstances, but I just want to express to you guys and the fans of baseball that the last 7 months has been a nightmare. It's been, you know, probably the worst time of my life for sure. Obviously, for the circumstances that that are at hand. And also dealing with a very tough surgery and a rehab program and being 38. I am thrilled and humbled to have the opportunity to put on this uniform again and to play Major League Baseball again.
I tell you what, on the ride home from work, I caught that press conference just in time, Matt, and listening to it, it was so awkward and disturbing to listen to A-Rod in that press conference. There were a lot of awkward pauses. The media, they definitely asked questions about, you know, his use. Does he admit it? Why appeal it? And blah, blah, blah. But he was just fouling them off to left field, not really, you know, acknowledging the question, just saying, hey, there will be a time for that, you know, just be patient, you know, due process, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was a funny tweet. I tell you, baseball fans are pretty clever. It was a funny tweet I read that said, because he did, it's funny because the baseball came, dropped a hammer on him yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he made his major league return with the Yankees yesterday. And all of that happened in one day. You know, a tweet from one of the fans of baseball said that A-Rod, because he batted fourth yesterday, I believe, and he was playing third base. He said A-Rod is he's playing third, batting fourth, and pleading the fifth.
Nice.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot.
That was very well put. I forget who sent the tweet, but very, very well put. But, yeah, A-Rod really just deflected. What was your thoughts on that press conference? It was really disturbing, awkward, and it made me angry, to be honest with you.
Well, honestly, for, you know, he kind of goes into this robotic mode of answering questions where he just deflects everything.
Everything.
But it was odd to actually see a robot show that much emotion because it looked he was on the verge of tears for a while there.
A lot of
pauses. There are pauses that are like, you know, tangible. Like you can just feel like this guy is losing it. And then he sort of recovers and he goes into PR spin mode where it's like, I have, you know, I'm not going to admit to anything. I'm not going to do any of that.
Right. There will be a time for that. Blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
I'll have my due process, but it's just, enough
it's
is
sticky.
Enough. I wish we could, you know, suspend him and then like just exile him from TV and media and just not have to hear about him.
Right.
4 months.
The
lead
story
go.
Everywhere.
Just let him go.
Let him go. I agree. Totally agree with you. And, you know, and it was so many media members at that game yesterday. It was ridiculous. There's a scene that I saw on TV where A-Rod's, I think it was he signing autographs, I think? And it's like a swarm, like an ocean of media just taking pictures, people reaching over each other trying to take pictures of him. I mean, this story is just huge. And, of course, Johnny Peralta is... He's gone for 50 games. Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland, he sent media members packing 90 seconds into his pregame session Monday afternoon because he didn't want to discuss the suspension of Johnny. He chatted a bit about the loss of Peralta late Monday night at the Tigers rally for a 4-2 victory over the Indians and says, quote, obviously off the top of your head, you don't think it's going to affect your team defensively, but you do think it's going to affect your team because this guy was having a career year offensively. Maybe not a career year, but he was having a huge year offensively, so it does affect your team, blah, blah, blah. Before yesterday's game, they start asking about Johnny. He says, quote, see you guys. See you later. That's the end of the press conference. I told you I wasn't going to comment on that. See ya. That's the end of the press conference. See you after the game. And he took a similar track after the game and says, quote, don't ask me anything about Johnny Peralta. Nothing. I'm not commenting on that, Dave Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski, the spokesperson for the Tigers, the commissioner is the spokesperson for the Major League Baseball. They both said their piece, and they're not discussing it. So,
wow,
interesting.
It seems like you have to just catch Leland after a comeback win. It's like, you know, asking somebody for money. You got to do it when they're in the best possible mood.
Best
you got to wait for the opportunity, or else you're going to get shot down.
That's how
you
want to
hear
Jim
something
Leland
about
is.
Peralta. Wait for a big comeback, nice ninth inning victory. Fire away.
Fire away.
Go for it.
Fire away. But Jim Leland, he's a tough cookie, man.
Oh,
I tell you.
He's not going to take any crap.
Right. All right, we have another call. Norm is on line one. Welcome to Current Sports. Norm.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, man?
Good. Well, I have to take issue with you about this A-Rod situation. And you talk about this performance-enhancing medications, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be very careful about these things. I mean, first of all, one, Major League Baseball made billions off of these guys in selling tickets and promoting their agenda, so they're equally at fault. The other thing, too, is you want to punish a professional athlete. Well, I mean, what about some of the when we send this into the racial society and into the rest of the society, which I started with Earl about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what about the medications that you take at Michigan State University, the University of Michigan, you know, the kids who are on Adderall and I'm competing against them to go to the law school or the medical school or the dental school, and they can stay up all night long and bust out the great grades and stuff, and they're on performance-enhancing medication. And this extends into the professional career. So we got to be careful about, you know, I think we got to be careful about how we look upon this, this A-Rod. You're going to set the standards for athletes and set them for everybody else. And the other thing I take issue with about the Johnny Manziel so-called scandal.
Yeah.
What I take issue with is, okay, so one of I take issue with the NCAA. I mean, one of their slaves decides that he had better sense to make a little money by sending his signature, by getting paid for his signature. I mean, the NCAA, the scandal in there is the NCAA makes millions and millions of dollars off these athletes that we complain about get on the field. And now he decides to have a little bit of sense to try to get a little to make a little money for you know from his and his master gets upset about this. Mm-hmm. Come on, you know we got to just view it another way. I don't see anything wrong. I mean, maybe we should address the issue of the athletes out there getting a little something, or the college athletes getting a little something for their services that they contribute to these universities, you know. And let's address that way versus looking at Johnny Manziel, who, you know, who's decides that he's going to make a little money for himself. Look at the issue with the Fab Five. These guys were making millions. Michigan made millions. Man, I'm a Michigan fan, too.
Right.
Millions of dollars. These guys couldn't even buy. If I go out and buy a hamburger for some guys over at, go and say, hey, you guys at Michigan, let me get you a couple of hamburgers, you know. Mm-hmm. They'd all be suspended. The whole team would be, whoever particularly would be suspended. Versus the average student, if I went in and you say, hey, let's get a couple of hamburgers over there at McDonald's, you know.
Right. Man, so you do agree that they should be paid in some way. But I got to ask you, Norm, going back to the A-Rod, so do you agree? Are you siding with A-Rod about, you know,
well,
or athletes in general taking steroids?
Major League Baseball had no drug policy. They had none. The unions fought against it, okay? So, yeah, and they made millions. They denied it and denied. All of a sudden now, and he never did it for anything. So, you know, people running around chasing them about, oh, you have performance-enhancing drugs, and hell, we know that at every university in this state, and in this state, and any other state around in this country, there are kids who are on Alderil. We give our kids Focalin, we give our kids Ritalin, in order to get them to perform better and to behave them so they can pay for attention deficit order so they can improve their scores. Mm-hmm. And we do it all the time. So come on, man. Let's get real with that. And we do it, and it extends beyond that. It extends to when they get out of graduate school or medical school or law school, and they're still taking the same. You're going to tell somebody, you go to any prosecutor's office, are you on Xanax or Paxil or Zoloft? Come on. What are those?
Yeah. I think this is different
SSRIs,
realm, though.
SSRIs. What are those? Nothing but performance-enhancing medication to keep you calm and those sort of things. But yet you're going to send somebody to take their career for whatever it is they were take. Come on, man. Let's apply it to the rest of society. Is what I look at.
Gotcha. Well, very interesting comments.
It's what I do all day long. Give people. I have a pharmacy here, and I dispense medication to folks. And a lot of times, we're dispensing the SSRIs and the Xanaxes and the Haldol.
Well, that's a very interesting comparison, Norm, from sports to that. Well, at first of all, I want to say thanks a lot for your call. I really appreciate it.
I got to give you a weather report. Some degrees down here. So
Where are you at?
Tampa, Florida.
I'm jealous. we're getting rain and it's cloudy over here, man. I'm very jealous, Norm.
We get that too.
Hey, well, thanks a lot for listening all the way from Florida.
Bet.
Appreciate that.
All right. You bet.
Well, Norm brings up some very interesting discussions there. But I think you're talking about a different realm when you talk about professional sports and everyday life.
Right. Especially when, you know, some of these substances are on a list of banned substances, and that's what they're getting in trouble for.
Exactly.
And he lied about it before he got caught the last time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It seems like his kind of, pull with the public is done.
It's done. Oh, yeah. It's definitely done. So... All right. Again, if you got some comments, give us a call, 517-355-9527 on the whole biogenesis, on MSU football, anything. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. Give us a call here at the station. And the Tigers, they pull off one incredible, thrilling game yesterday against the Tribe. That's right, the Cleveland Indians, with one out in the ninth. And the Tigers having pulled within a run, Alex Avila found himself at the plate with runners on first and second. On a 1-0 count, Avila drove the pitch from closer Chris Perez to his favorite part of the park. Yes, left center. We all know Avila loves that part of the park. And into the Progressive Field bleachers for a 3-run homer. That's right, Joaquin Buemois. He threw a perfect ninth, and the Tigers won their ninth straight game, 4-2. And thank you, Tigers, for increasing my streak for the cash to 2. It's not, yeah, that's about it, just 2. Appreciate that, Tigers. And they take a 4-game lead now in the AL Central on the second place Indians in the opener of this 4-game series. And Prince Fielder, he led off the ninth with an opposite field double. Victor Martinez singled on an 0-2 drive. And Andy Dierks replaced Peralta in the sixth spot. He drew in a 5-pitch walk and upstepped Avila for that incredible homer to propel the Tigers. Now, in his first start since Tuesday, Miguel Cabrera, he seemed a little slow. He's still feeling that hip abdominal injury right now. So we'll see how that if that lingers as time goes on. And tonight, the Tigers face the Tribe again with Tribe ace Justin Masterson. Avila might need his late inning adrenaline again in this one. It should be a very fun one. Sad news in the world of the Detroit Red Wings. Sean Burr, that's right, former Red Wing fan favorite, Sean Burr passed away Monday after falling in his home. The 47-year-old had been battling cancer for years. While reports have stated he hit his head during the fall to really cause massive head trauma, I should say. Now, after being diagnosed with leukemia a few years ago, the Sean Burr Foundation focuses efforts on raising funds for leukemia research and awareness. Burr played with the Wings for 12 seasons and was a fan and media favorite known for his nonstop jaw. I tell you, he's a funny guy, a nonstop talker, always had a trick to play. That was said by former Red Wing teammate Chris Odgood. And, quote, my first game as a rookie, he put my name upside down on my jersey. He was the guy in the 90s who kept everybody relaxed. He did the dirty work for the team on the ice and then kept the guys relaxed in the dressing room, end quote. So after retiring, Burr remained a part of the organization through the Red Wing Alumni Association. For more information about Burr and his foundation, you can visit www.seanburrfoundation.org. Really a great cause. Again, 47-year-old Sean Burr has passed away in a battle with cancer. So sad news there, man. Sad news there. Also, some more Red Wings news. Chris Chelios, he has been hired as an Olympic announcer for Fox Sports 1. Interesting. And now Fox Sports 1 is just now starting up. It is going to be competing with ESPN. ESPN finally has some competition. But yeah, Chris Chelios, he's heading back to the Olympics as an analyst. And after 4 appearances as a defenseman for the U.S. national team as and one unofficial team advisor, former Red Wing will join Fox Sports 1's coverage of the Winter Games in Russia. So congrats to Chris Chelios. Moving on, Peyton Siva for the Detroit Pistons. He has officially signed with the Pistons. He tweeted on Instagram him signing himself and a pen in his contract on the table, him signing that contract. So congrats to him. At 14 players, that leaves just one roster spot remaining for the Pistons. Also, Packers, they signed Vince Young. Yes, so Vince Young is now a Packer. What do you think about that one, man? Vince Young,
does this have anything to do with the financial situation of Vince Young that we talked about last week?
Possibly a little bit.
I think there might be a connection.
One-year contract, yeah. So congrats to him. I'm happy the brother, you know, put some money in his pocket now. But as far as his impact with the Packer team, I don't know. He might just be riding the bench, but at least he's collecting a paycheck, right?
Right. Maybe they'll have like a wild Longhorn package in there or something. get Vince Young in the game.
Right. Get him in the game. Get him in the game. Just for one play.
Right.
Johnny Football. Moving on to Johnny Football, as you know, one of our callers just mentioned. Johnny Football, and just if you don't know this story, Johnny was apparently signing autographs, and he's been involved with possibly using his autograph to get money. You can't do that. It's an NCAA rule. Now, an autograph broker based in the Southeast has claimed that Nate Fitch, personal assistant to Heisman winner Johnny Manziel, demanded that future autograph sessions with the Texas A&M and QB would require a fee. After the broker approached Manziel for hundreds of autographs before the Texas A&M Alabama game last fall. Now, the broker also claims that Fitch offered access to other possible athletes, with those sessions also requiring a fee. Now, this comes just a few days after it was announced that the NCAA will be looking into a possible violation stemming from a January autograph signing in which Manziel allegedly received a 5-figure flat fee while in Miami for the BCS National Championship game. Johnny, stay out of the media, man. This is ridiculous. So we'll see how that one pans out. And also, Tony Stewart, Annoyed by the coverage of his flip in a sprint car race last week, Stewart told reporters Friday they needed to watch more to the videos and learn about that style of racing. He says, quote, "When they wreck, they get upside down like that. That was not a big deal. I guarantee you there were 15 to 20 guys across the country that flipped just like that this weekend and were just fine like we were. If it's bad, we will let you guys know." Well, those words came to bite Tony Stewart in the butt. I tell you that because this time Stewart was not fine. He flipped again in a sprint car race late Monday night and broke his leg, requiring surgery and leaving him with an injury that could force him to miss NASCAR's chase for the Sprint Cup and a shot at a fourth championship. Now, he'll miss at least this week's race at Watkins Glen, but it seems like a broken leg comes with a long recovery period. I don't even know if he'll race again this season. So those words, that's funny. He made that quote right after he flipped.
Right.
A week ago, and then this happens Monday. I wonder what he's saying now.
Seriously. He's going to have a lot tougher time putting his foot in his mouth with a broken leg, though.
Very, very true.
I mean.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Instant karma.
Instant karma. That was like, immediately like, all right, you
okay,
said that, all right.
Challenge the race gods.
Here we go. The race gods came down
on
him.
You get your retribution. That is so funny.
That is. So, all right. Yesterday, we didn't get to pick a Monday. Oh, we got about 4 minutes. What do you want to do? I'm going to let you choose. We can go pick a Monday, or we can do top five foods to eat while you're watching sports. That's what we're going to do, because we had top five Tuesday planned for you. But you guys, definitely thank you for all your calls. And we got 4 minutes.
Let's do top five foods.
That's fun.
Let's talk about food.
Let's talk about
lighten
some food
lighten up the
real
mood
quick.
A little bit.
Yes, top five Tuesday today is the top five foods you eat while watching sports. Matt, go ahead, man.
All right. No particular order. Bacon-wrapped anything. Anything.
Like
could
I
be
like
water chestnuts. Could be, yes, you know, pieces of beef. Could be, you know, a toothpick wrapped in bacon. I'll probably eat the toothpick, too. Everything tastes better with bacon.
Yes.
Spinach dip. Maybe hummus and chips.
Yes.
Some kind of dip.
Guacamole. Some kind of dip.
Salsa. Something. You need chips and dip.
Right.
Keeping in the chip theme, nachos. Amazing.
Yes.
And just a little tidbit. Ford Field used to have the most amazing nachos when they, like, first...
Ford Field.
You know, yeah.
So they
were
have them anymore?
They were $9 nachos, but they were awesome. I don't think they make them the same way they used to.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep chasing that dream of those, you know, 2005 Ford Field hot dogs. They were fantastic.
Wow.
I'll spread the legend as long as I live.
I did not know that. Wow. Okay.
Hot dogs, you know, just, gotta you know, portability. Dogs. It's a ballpark classic. You can't really do any better.
Yeah.
Except, you know, I'm sorry. I got to steal your number one.
What? Oh, chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
You stole my number one, man.
They're so good.
I have chicken wings. I'm so addicted to chicken wings. I have them sitting on the current sports desk right now, staring at staring at me.
It's like a pie on a windowsill.
Just looking
there,
at me.
Daring you.
Yeah, I ordered these from Hungry Howie's after work yesterday.
Really?
I ordered a pizza and these wings. I finished the pizza. Couldn't get to the wings. I was feeling full, so I said, "All right, I'll save them for lunch tomorrow." And they're staring right at me. And
underrated leftovers, chicken wings.
Yeah,
they're still good.
They're still good, man. I will eat chicken if it's like years old. I don't care how old it is. All right,
I'm gonna hold you to that. We're gonna have you eat some really funky chicken in about a week.
That'd be interesting. But yeah, for me, you kind of basically the same list as you. Number one is chicken wings. The rest of them in no particular order. Chips and dip, like you said, any type
right.
of dip.
Can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with that. My mama's lasagna. My mom, when I was in high school, on Sundays, she would cook lasagna, and I would be sitting there. Of course, it's Sunday. You're watching football. The lasagna was off the charts. I have not had it in a while, but I used to eat that every Sunday during football Sundays. And man.
I'll buy it.
Mama, if you're listening, please. I'm going to come home soon. Just give me some lasagna. I'll be good. You probably won't see me for a while now because football season is starting. But, man, it was good. I got to bring it in for you guys. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Again, hot dogs. You stole my hot dog right there.
Right.
And, you know, and I had, you know, when I – because I went to the Tigers game Sunday
mm-hmm.
against the White Sox. Man. It's nothing like a ballpark hot dog, I tell you.
It's just
something different. I don't know what they do.
But it's magical. It's so good.
Again, we want to know your list out there. What do you watch when you're eating? What do you eat when you're watching sports, excuse me? Leave us a comment on our Facebook page.
What are you watching when you're eating? We'll ask that, too.
Yeah, we'll ask that, too.
Give us an answer.
Give us an answer. It's got to be an answer to that, right? But before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Thanks for everyone that tuned in and called. Again, you listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WK. WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.